What's happening in Gaza is the shame of the century. Gaza has been erased. There is almost nothing left other than the despair of people who continue to perish there. Look at the acts of torture. Look at who's been killed. Doctors, nurses, students, mothers, children, 17,000 children. To look at what the soldiers have done and said, and then have the courage to say that this is not genocide. This genocide would have not been possible without the shocking, shocking cover-up by the media. The role that corporate media played in justifying crimes, in spreading misinformation, like the 40 beheaded babies.
We have some really disturbing new information out of Israel. The Israeli Prime Minister's spokesman just confirmed babies and toddlers were found with their heads decapitated in Kfar Aza in southern Israel after Hamas attacks in the kibbutz over the weekend.
The basic ethical principles governing their profession.
I choked up earlier reading this new revelation about 40 babies being killed.
Oh my God.
And some of them being beheaded. And I was like, how can any human being do that to a baby?
The role of international media, of Western media in acting in defense of the acts of a genocidal state. This is unprecedented, but it's also revealing of the global situation we are facing, the fact that this is not just the genocide of the Palestinians committed by Israel. A number of Western countries are complicit, and so this is an opportunity to interrogate the system we live in, the checks and balances we have as a global community, how people in the West trying to stop the genocide have been repressed. There is momentum and goodwill to make a change, and people feel at loss because they look at their politicians who are in bad faith, especially those who claim to be human rights lawyers.
A siege is appropriate. Cutting off power, cutting off water.
Well, I think that Israel does have that right.
They know that you cannot advocate for starvation. They know that you cannot doubt that a genocide is ongoing, where the International Court of Justice has recognized the plausibility of genocide. You should act upon the recognition of that plausibility.
I'm well aware of the definition of genocide, and that is why I've never described this and referred to it as genocide.
This genocide is also the consequence of the enduring impunity that Israel has been granted since its foundation. Israel has been allowed to violate hundreds of UN resolutions. And this is the result, a state that behaves as if it was above the law, and the state that becomes repressive against those who are trying to hold it accountable. Let me be clear. I have nothing against the state of Israel. The state of Israel is a recognized member of the United Nations, and because of this, I've always respectfully, since the beginning of my mandate, trying to engage with the state of Israel. However, I cannot tolerate that the only modus operandi and the only way of existing of this state is by dispossessing, oppressing, and repressing another people. If the only way of Israel to exist is by being an apartheid state, well, we have a problem here. And this is where the conflict is. And Israel could be led by Buddhist, atheist, Muslim, Christians. It wouldn't change. The problem is not with the religious underpinning that Israel maintains. It's with the abhorrent human rights records that Israel has. This protracted impunity of Israel, including in the face of clearly war crimes, crimes against humanity, and plausibly genocide, should have been followed by critical measures taken by the UN Security Council, the General Assembly, lacking which member states should have acted upon their own obligation under international law, not to aid and assist a state which is committing atrocities, a state that maintains an unlawful occupation which is to be dismantled totally and unconditionally by September 2025, according to the General Assembly. In the face of all this, what remains of the international legal system? So we are at a critical juncture. We still have the possibility to step back from the precipice we are staring at. But we need to act in order to change that pattern of lack of accountability. This is why I think that it's important that where democracies or quasi-democracies still exist, ordinary citizens, people from all paths of life, make their voice heard to change the political will, to hold our politicians accountable, our institutions accountable, to make sure that, for example, in the UK, you have citizens who are fighting in the Israeli army. You have UK citizens who live in the settlements. How it's possible? These people should be held accountable. British banks, pension funds, and businesses who profit from and trade with the illegal occupation. It's time to hold people accountable. The reason why I have recommended the suspension of Israel's credentials as a member of the United Nations is not even because of the genocide, is not even because of the apartheid, it's because of the assault that Israel has launched against the United Nations in the past 13 months. It started with a prohibition of the United Nations to have humanitarian aid entering and delivered to the Palestinians in Gaza. And then it continued with the assault on UN premises in Gaza. 70% of them have been severely damaged and in certain cases destroyed. 237 UN staff members have been killed in Gaza alone. UN peacekeepers have been attacked, and they continue to be attacked in Lebanon. And there has been an entire smear campaign against the United Nations, starting with UNRWA, and then the Secretary General, who's been declared persona non grata, together with myself, and the General Assembly, and the Human Rights Council, the International Criminal Court. Every one of us has been accused either of being anti-Semite or supporting terrorism, or both. And recently, Israel even passed a law that prevents UNRWA from operating in Israel, which means inability to enter the occupied Palestinian territory. What is this? I mean, this is such an incredibly negative precedent that is going to give carte blanche to destroy the UN wherever they are. But I do think that no one has the hubris that has grown into Israel's veins because of 75 years of impunity that the United Nations have granted to this state. What is striking is the lack of empathy. If you cannot empathize with the Palestinians who have been killed in dozens of thousands and been maimed, their homes have been destroyed, there is nothing to return to, and they've lived for 1 year under constant bombing, moving from one place to another, really on survival mode. How cannot we empathize with them, with their tragedy? This speaks to our racism. The double standard, the selective moral outrage, the selective indignation that we harbor is a reflex and is a function of how we have a hierarchy. Certain lives are more worthy than others. Clearly, the Palestinians do not rank very high. For many, it's dehumanization that leads to the commission of these atrocities and thus justified the erasure of Gaza, the killing of Palestinians, including children, and even the torture and rape. This is one case in which we cannot miss the genocidal intent, which must be attributed to the state and its totality of conduct, its totality of crimes against the totality of the Palestinian in the totality of the land that Israel occupies. I like to remember the words of Primo Levi, a Holocaust survivor who took his life because he couldn't survive the apathy of the world he found out of the concentration camps. And he said, "Monsters are few. Atrocities happen because of the indifference of the many who do not ask questions. Ordinary bureaucrats, ordinary citizens who look the other way around. This has happened during the Holocaust of the Jews. This has happened during the Rwanda genocide, during the Bosnia-Herzegovina genocide. It's more shocking now because with the international framework of human rights norms we have, there should be prevention. And even more shocking now because everything is televised. This is where we are. I hope that this is the last genocide of human history. It could be. If we were only able to understand the critical juncture we are at, to take this moment as an opportunity to learn from the past, to see the past into the present, to understand the warning that was given by Holocaust survivors. Never forget the past, because the forgotten past risks to become a new present. And this is what has happened in many respects. But also knowing that the international legal framework is not ineffective per se, is rendered ineffective by the lack of political will, which is a function of political connivance and interests. It's in our interest as a people, we the people, to make international law not just a promise, but a reality, because we will miss it very much, especially us in the West, when human rights will be entirely eroded. In some time, in the coming future, I cannot predict in how long, we will have to come to terms with the fact that we will not be able to say that we didn't know, because these have been a live-streamed 24/7 genocide. We knew in real time what was happening, why it was happening, the excuses that were made by the media and politicians in Israel and beyond across the West. We will have to come to terms with our own conscience. And I think there will be a lot of regrets. But because of that, I say, let's act now to stop the genocide.